preaching of God's word. Be reading Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 30. I'll be reading all the way to the 21st verse of chapter 15. It's going to be found on page 67 or 67 of the Pew Bibles. One of the great things about sermon technology is that this sermon will be recorded. I think there might even be video of this sermon. Now, which means, as Miriam grows older, she can come back and listen to this sermon. In light of that, I'm preaching to Miriam this morning. You're more than welcome to listen in, but I will be preaching to her. Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 30. Before I read, would you please join me in seeking the Lord's blessing in prayer? O great shepherd, Lord Jesus Christ, speak to your sheep, your people. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to Miriam, that you would allow her ears always be receptive and open to your word when it's read in family worship, in public worship, when it is preached, that you would use your word to bring about faith. As we are told that faith comes by hearing God's word, give us ears to hear, Lord. Preach to us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 14, starting at verse 30. Please give your attention to God's word. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord, believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. In the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath and consumed them like stubble. With the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. And they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them. By the greatness of your arm, they will be as still as a stone. To your people pass over, O Lord. To the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. In the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Miriam, how will you have victory in this world? Or put it another way, maybe more generally, how do women triumph in this world? That question might seem out of place, right? In a reformed pulpit, how do women triumph? No, let churches that have abandoned the Bible or adopted other agendas answer that question. But before we can make that assessment, Exodus says, well, I actually have an answer to that question. Exodus teaches those who read and hear its message which kind of women triumph. The women who fear God and follow him. Which kind of women overcome trials, tribulations, and live well? Women who fear God and follow him. You know the major focus of the book of Exodus is God keeping his promise to Abraham. God told Abraham, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the shore. They will be a holy nation, and kings and priests will come from them." But in Exodus, they're slaves. And as it appears that God's promise is threatened, the Lord rescues the Hebrew slaves, forms them into a holy nation, committed to serving God and worshiping him. That's our main, major plot in Exodus. But along the storyline of Exodus, we get subplots or secondary themes, and one of them is the victory of women who fear God. What do I mean by fear of God? You know, boys and girls, if I were to ask you, you know, what does it mean to fear God, you would more than likely answer, to be afraid of him. But this isn't what it means. To fear God has to do with recognition and action. Other people could put it differently. I think we get at the same thing. First, recognizing who the Lord is. Recognizing his wisdom, his majesty, his glory, his strength, his might. Knowing who God has revealed himself to be. And then acting according to what you have recognized. There's a part of fear that does have to do with awe, seeing something great. And so, you know, you can imagine seeing some great sight in nature. And you take a picture of it and come up with some cool caption to post it on social media. But that doesn't really change the way you live. But to fear God is not to just recognize and observe his greatness as it's revealed to us in the scriptures, but to live according to him. To live according to his holiness, his power, his wisdom and knowledge. And this is what we see in Exodus. Women who seek the Lord's cause and live according to him and not the world, not the powers of their age. Women who delight in who their God is and refuse to turn away from him, even if that means they lose their life. It starts with two Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, and they are told by Pharaoh, when you see a male Hebrew child, kill him. Maybe he wouldn't even say him, but kill it. But what do we see these two Hebrew midwives do? Well, Exodus 1 says, they feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children. They feared the Lord. That is, they recognized that nothing about murdering these children would match with God's character and greatness. And then they acted and responded according to what they had recognized. When you are committed to the fear of the Lord, you are placing yourself in opposition to powers of the age. Miriam, because you fear the Lord, that will upset some people. Some people will not like you. Well, there goes Miriam, that God-loving do-gooder. If you fear the Lord, you will experience opposition. Pharaoh could have had these women killed immediately. Pharaoh could have thrown these God-fearing women into jail and let them rot. All kinds of things could have happened, but they acted out of conviction and not fear. God reigns, not Pharaoh. God is in control, not Pharaoh. I obey the Lord, not Pharaoh. And the Lord rewarded their holy fear. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. Now here are two women who triumph over Pharaoh and his commands by fearing the Lord and obeying him. And lest we begin to think this is just one off in the account of Exodus, the next chapter again shows us God-fearing women, a mother and a big sister. A God-fearing mother, a God-fearing big sister. Moses' mother sees that she has given birth to a beautiful baby boy. And she knows that Pharaoh, the powers of her day and age, have said, when you have a baby boy, kill it. But Moses' mother entrusts the baby to the Lord, puts him in an ark. It's actually the same Hebrew. She puts Moses in an ark and puts him into the river, and entrusts that just as that ark carried Noah and his family safely to salvation, that the Lord would carry his servant Moses safely to salvation. And the ark arrives at the feet of Pharaoh's daughter, and she knows right away that it is a Hebrew boy. And this is where we then meet our God-fearing big sister. Miriam comes out of hiding, leaves her spot. She's described as standing far off and says, shall I go get a Hebrew woman to nurse that Hebrew boy that your dad said should be dead? Make no mistake about what she is asking. She is asking Pharaoh's daughter, shall we not only defy your father and save this little boy's life, but give him strength and nourishment so that he can grow and live? And Pharaoh's daughter takes pity, and she saves this child and agrees with Miriam's suggestion. A risky mother, aware of all the possibilities of defying Pharaoh and placing her child in the river, but she fears God. A courageous sister who speaks directly to royalty and gives a suggestion to Pharaoh's daughter that comes off as, let's defy your dad. But she fears the Lord and acts accordingly. And Hebrew midwives who follow God and not Pharaoh. Women who fear God and trust their lot and children to the Lord. Women of courage. You know, Miriam, we can conclude a lot of things about what it means to fear the Lord, but one is for certain. Miriam, if you fear the Lord, you cannot be afraid of man. You have to choose. And I'm saying to you now, as I pray you will hear later, choose always to fear the Lord. You can please man, but you will not always please God. You can fear the powers and leaders of your day and always do what they want you to do, but you would not always be giving obedience to the Lord. Miriam, put on strength and be a woman who fears God over this world and over its power and influence. Ruth, model this fear to your little sister. Amanda, model this to your daughters. Women of Brumall, model this to the little women in your assembly. If I could maybe ask it this way, what will be normal for you if you are a young woman growing up in this congregation? Will it be normal for you to be actively seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness? Normal to put on strength and be there for your sisters who need support, encouragement. Putting your skills and talents to use, but never giving more focus to your work, your training, your education than the worship of God and his people. Will this be normal for them or something else? Women of Brumall, model what it looks like to fear God and follow him to the little women placed in your assembly. You know, at this point, I can be given the impression that the women who fear God are only the women who are doing, like, real risky stuff, defying, you know, orders of their ruler and trying to do kinds of schemes. But Exodus 15 adds more to the picture of what it looks like for women who fear God and triumph. Women who fear God triumph by letting God fight for them and praising God for his victory. I'm going to say that again. Women who fear God triumph by letting God fight for them and praising God for his victory. In Exodus 15, we find Miriam and the women of Israel. They have defeated Pharaoh and his forces. And they win because God has made his victory their own. This is evidenced in the lyrics of the Song of the Sea in Exodus 15. This is a song of salvation by God's work, received and enjoyed through faith by grace. I mean, and it has to be God's work, because what were the Hebrews going to do at this time? They have no ability to save themselves. When you got a bloodthirsty, hard-hearted Pharaoh rushing down your back and watery death in front of you, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. It must be the Lord. It must be the Lord who would fight for the people. And so in that moment, Moses, yes, Moses, saved and preserved by God through the actions of God-fearing women, preaches, "Do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Stand still in that situation is the worst sermon in the world. Unless you have a God who's fighting for you. If the Hebrews needed to figure out a way to save themselves, "Do not be afraid" and "stand still" would be foolish. But Moses tells the people to stand, to be in the proper position to see the Lord, this man of war, graciously fight on behalf of his people. Miriam, you are being raised in a world that would encourage you to believe you can do anything you want. You can be anything you want. Now, those who fear God know that that's a lie, a very attractive one, but a lie. Oh, there's so much you can't do. You can't erase your sins. You can't save yourself. You can't find a joy in this world that will satisfy you forever. There will be skills that will be hard for you to learn, maybe things that you can't learn at all. Oh, you have so many limits. But those who fear God do not despair over that, because they know that they have a God who fights for them. Oh, yeah, I can't do that. But the Lord can. I can't erase my sins. I can't remove my guilt. But the Lord Jesus can. And he fights for me. I can't heal myself. I can't muster up strength and grit to get through this trial and difficulty. But the Lord, by his Spirit, can give me that strength. Give me that hope. Give me that grace-filled grit, if I can put it that way, to persevere. The lie is that with enough education, enough charisma, personality, you can be anything. But rather, Miriam, be a woman who fears God and knows that there are certain times where you sit still and you watch your God who loves you work it out. Watch him fight for you. Watch him take up the battle, take up the challenge, and remove it for you. Again, listen to the song of Exodus. God has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. You don't hear any lyrics of, you know, the Lord helps those who help themselves. The Lord was getting close to defeating Pharaoh, but the Lord really needed that last push by the Hebrews. Well, the lyrics of the song is that a great salvation has been worked today, and it is entirely by the strength and might of the Lord. Because God fights for his people, this is good news. Because that victory that the man of war, that God has won, is for the benefit of his beloved. We hear that in the song too. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. Miriam, the Lord in mercy will lead you through, because you are the child that he will redeem. You are the child that he has marked with baptism to belong to him and to love him and worship him all the days of your life. He will guide you in his strength. Again, fear and dread will fall on those who hear this, who are outside of God's people, but your people will pass over whom you have purged. You will bring them in and plant them in the promised land. You will bring them to your dwelling. The horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Miriam, sometimes the fear of the Lord will call you to take up courage and speak up. I am a Christian, so I do not agree with that. I am a Christian, so I must respond this way. I must make this action, or I must decline. To receive taunting, mocking, to act, and to do. But the fear of the Lord also calls you to sit still, to trust him, to praise the Lord, who will work things out for you, who will do the work for you. Jesus was once asked, what must we be doing to do the works of God? And Jesus says, believe in the one that the Father has sent. And Miriam, there is no better object, or rather, there's no better person for you to sit still and consider to be encouraged this way than to think about the Lord Jesus. Miriam, believe that Jesus will bring the waters to wash away your every sin when you confess it to him in faith. Miriam, believe that Jesus will bring the waters of refreshment for you when you are weak and weary. Miriam, believe that Jesus will part and open what seems impossible for you to get through. And believe that Jesus took the wrath, those waters of God's wrath, so that you could be safely ushered into salvation. Miriam, believe each and everything that God has promised you in Jesus Christ and praise him for it. You know, we rightly call on our children to learn, listen, believe, but what of praise? Are we telling our children, praise God, give thanks to God? What are you thankful for? That we say, we teach them the Lord is holy and it means this, but then do we conclude, and we should praise God for being holy. We should praise him for being just and sovereign and merciful and slow to wrath. Is this not what will truly last for our little ones? In the age to come, the time for Bible reading will pass. There will be no more questions trying to see how much of the catechism you have memorized. In the age to come, we will be worshipers, perfected in righteousness. We must encourage our little ones to praise, to not just sit still and watch the God who will fight for them and do for them, but praise him for it. This is what Miriam did, after all. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. You know, Pharaoh spent his whole life making much of himself. He received all that training to be a great big success in this life. All the training a ruler gets, all the tools, the resources, and all his stats and achievements, and all his very impressive resume was drowned. Because he would not make much of God, but rather make much of himself. And then there was Miriam, this poor, lowly Hebrew slave girl, who only got training that would make her more useful as a slave, not impressive. Certainly not seen as a success or one who is victorious in this life, and yet she overcomes Pharaoh and his armies because she worshiped God and made much of him. Miriam, if I told you to spend your life making much about God and little of yourself, many people would say that's a waste. Even some Christians. They would say, what about all the possibilities that she could have and be and accomplish? Telling such a beautiful, cute child that she should spend her whole life making much about God and little of herself. Well, that's terrible. But the reality is that those who live for God's praise and worship, not worshiping themselves or the gods of this age or the powers of this age, they are the ones who triumph and overcome. And those who make much of themselves one day will face God's wrath and be drowned. Miriam, you will not waste your life by being committed to making much of the Lord and his praise. And one of the things that you will have that so many in our world do not have is joy. A constant joy and praise that no matter your circumstance or situation, I belong to God. He has always been my God. He has always been gracious to me. He is always working things out on my behalf. Miriam, make much of God. Your baptism preaches to you that the Lord Jesus has triumphed for you. He has defeated sin and the grave for your sake. He reigns victoriously at the right hand of God, and he desires that you would share in his victory and praise him for it. He is so desirous of this that he has given you a mother and father who brought you to church, brought you forward for baptism, brought you into a church where you will hear the gospel preached and Jesus worshiped. Miriam, fear the Lord and respond to your baptism. Rumal, I said I wasn't going to talk to you, but I'll talk to you. Rumal, your baptism preaches to you this morning. Fear God, not man. Young men, young women, old women, veteran women, better way to put that. Fear God and not man. Do not despair when you don't have the answer. Rather, sit still and wait for God to work on your behalf. Spend your days making much of Jesus Christ. Praise him and make little of yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so filled with love that you not only save sinners, but you have great interest in their children. The Apostle Paul writes that they are holy and set apart. Lord, help us all to fear you. Give us eyes to see your glory, your character and attributes. And then by your Spirit, fill us with faith so that we may live the right way, live in accordance with how great you are, and that we would praise you. You are worthy to be praised. I pray this in Jesus' name.